This week on the Silver and Black Show, Jim Plunkett and I send you off on a two-week road trip in Florida, starting with the Jaguars. Rookie Carl Joseph makes his debut on the show, and head coach Jack Del Rio discusses his return to Jacksonville. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
When you come home, man, that's got to be an advantage. You know, it's got to be, you know, something where it's just a different feel. You know, it has to be, you know, and we have yet to create that. And, you know, that's frustrating because when we come home, we got the best fans. You know, we should be able to, you know, have the biggest home field advantage, go in there and dominate, you know, but we just haven't created that yet. So it's frustrating, but I know, you know, what we need to do in practice and we're going to do it better.
The Raiders' struggles at home continue. Welcome to the Silver and Black Show. I'm your host, Nicole Zalumis, alongside two-time Super Bowl champion Jim Plunkett. Jim, it was a rainy afternoon at the Coliseum. Derek Carr seemed a little bit off. How much of that was Mother Nature, the weather, playing a factor into his performance?
Well, I don't think a lot of it was the weather. He performed very well initially. He took the team right down the field, scored on the opening drive. His numbers were good, 22 out of 34, but not the big numbers that he has in the yardage game. But still, I don't think it was so much that as it was the Kansas City Chiefs defense. You know, they're a good, well-coached football team. They've done that to a lot of other quarterbacks in this league, and I think they just gave him a lot of problems that he didn't foresee.
Why don't we get to our headlines this week? A lot of people looking at the defense, and that leads us to our first headline. Don't get defensive. The Raiders' defensive struggles continue, now giving up a league-worst 444 yards per game. They've yet to establish a pass rush, and although our run D started off strong, it has progressively gotten worse. So, Jim, we know to exercise patience. With the new defense being put together, we are 6 weeks in. The struggles are still there. So what do you see as the most pressing issue for this defense?
Well, I think play together as a team. There are a lot of individual plays that you know, they do a good job. But as a whole unit, you've got to be in the right spot at the right time. You know, play the defense that's called. Don't get out of position. And be prepared. You know, study those films hard. Know what you have to do. As soon as you see a certain formation, you know almost exactly what they're going to run out of it. So be prepared for that. You know, they're going to make changes because they've seen you on film as well. But, you know, sometimes you just have to go change things on the fly. But for the most part, do your job, do your job, do your job.
Let's look at the positive, bright spots when it comes to the D. Immediate impact, that is our second headline. Carl Joseph was inserted into the starting lineup in week three and hasn't looked back. In the 4 weeks since his first start, he's racked up 33 tackles, two pass defenses, an interception, and a fumble recovery, led the team in tackles versus the Chiefs. Jim, this guy has been all over the field so far. What have you seen from our 14th overall pick?
Well, he's led in tackles in two of the games he's played in, and I think he shows a good instinct for the ball, both in the run and the pass. But on the other side of the coin is that if he's making that many tackles, that means they're getting to the secondary before they're even stopped. So, you know, that's not a good thing for the defense overall, but for him, he's doing his job. Great instincts. He finds the ball.
And the Raiders have packed their bags. Our third headline, off to the Sunshine State. The NFL scheduling has the Raiders as one of the heaviest travel teams in the league. But Coach Del Rio offset some of that by keeping his team in Florida for their back-to-back games against the Jags and Buccaneers. Jim, what are some of the advantages of using this strategy and also some of the challenges that it may present?
Well, I think they're doing what a lot of teams are doing nowadays. If they've got two East Coast games, two West Coast games, they tend to stay out there for the entire week in preparation. When you travel, you get tired, you're cramped up for hours at a time. It's very difficult on a team to go from one coast to the other too often, especially back-to-back. So I think there's a good idea for the team. They can rest. They can concentrate on the upcoming game. They'll have more time to prepare because they don't have to fly back and get their day off and all that stuff, although they'll have a day off there. So I think it's just easier on the team overall, and I think they're doing the right thing.
And it's a homecoming of sorts for Jack Del Rio and Carl Joseph, as you mentioned. Carl's going to make his debut next here on the Silver and Black Show.
To be continued. Simba, of course. Steph Curry. How do you have to say Martin? First car, AMG Benz.
We like Carl, obviously. We took him, you know, early in the draft, and you know, he's working at it, doing a nice job with the different ways we're trying to utilize them.
Looking right, back foot, going to heave a bomb. Inman, double coverage, he goes down. Kyle Joseph intercepts.
He's a first rounder. First rounders are impact players, so he has to be well-rounded. He got great in coverage, great in man coverage, great in zone coverage, a great blitzer, tackler. We expect that guy to do all those things.
Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Carl Joseph making his debut here on the show, and you made your debut with the Raiders week three. Take me back to having to sit there and be patient and then getting the call and making the most of that opportunity.
It was a tough time for me. I just had to stay mentally and physically prepared and ready. I understand the reason behind it, and it was in the long run going to be better for me. So I had to just stay ready. I never knew when I was going to get my opportunity. So it was tough because, I've never had to sit back and watch from the sideline. I got to see it from a different perspective. So it was good for me, though.
Well, you've made the most of your opportunity so far, and that happened especially against a division rival in San Diego. Go back to your first career interception. What was that pick like?
Man, it felt amazing. Felt like that's what I needed to kind of get a confident boost that, after not playing football for almost over a year. So it felt great. Definitely left, I told some of the reporters after the game, I probably thought about some of the plays I missed more than the ones I did make. But it definitely felt good to get that first pick.
Perfectionists usually say that. Yeah. I want to look at your style of play because it's really aggressive. Before you were drafted, we were seeing video of you. And even though there's a lot of naysayers that say you're undersized, that aggression out there is something that stands out. Have you always been like that? Something you were taught?
Yeah, I've always played like that. I believe that's the only way you can play this game. You got to be intense, and I'm a very aggressive person. So been like that since I started playing Pop Warner. I still have that linebacker mentality, played linebacker in Pop Warner and in high school.
What's your response to those naysayers that maybe look at you and the reports are that you're undersized for your position?
There was never no response. I'm just letting my play speak for me. So I play with a chip on my shoulder. I believe that's what got me this far, so I'm going to keep doing that.
It was fun to see that video of you competing on the field during the draft. Also to see the video in Haiti. You're from Haiti. You stayed in Haiti during the draft.
Right.
What was the decision behind staying at home?
It was a decision something I always thought about doing and dreamed about it. As a kid growing up, I always thought, if I got a chance to do it. Of course, I always thought about going to the draft day and stuff like that. But I always thought that would be something special to do with my family, especially since I still have a lot of family over there. And my mom's family. Just something that I wanted to do for my parents. I know they would really appreciate it. So when I told them that was my goals and my plan I wanted to do, they was excited about it, and just to see that look on their face and how proud they was to go back and share some light on my country where I came from, it was something special.
Well, seeing that pool and that view, I don't blame you for staying in Haiti. What has been the biggest transition from college to the NFL? I know a lot of people talk about the speed, but what has that transition been like for you?
I think more so is the preparation that goes into it. I think that's what people don't see. I think the biggest thing for me was really just learning how to study film in a different way than I did in college, and understanding the way offense work in the NFL. So that's one thing I had to do and learn. But the speed is different as well, but I would have to say it's definitely like the film study and the preparation that goes into it.
You guys hit the road for 2 weeks. You guys are staying over for a week. You look at this Jags offense. How are you preparing to face this challenge?
Well, I'm excited about it. You think I'm motivated? I definitely didn't like the results we had last weekend after that loss. So I think some of those guys feel the same way. So I'm excited about it, especially for me going back home. My first game, my family will get to see me play in the NFL. So I'm excited, I'm motivated, and, I'm ready. We need this win. These next two, it'll be great to get these next two on the road and then come back home.
All right, now let's have some fun. Five questions. The first one, the same for everyone that comes on the show. Who was your favorite athlete growing up?
Favorite athlete? I have a couple different ones.
Okay. All right, rattle them off.
I was born in Haiti, so growing up, my first sport was soccer. So Ronaldo, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him.
Ronaldo?
No,
oh,
he was a famous.
The other Ronaldo.
Yeah, from played for Brazil. So that was one.
I focus on football, not football.
Football.
But you can school me on it. Can you still play? Are you the best soccer player on this football team?
On this team? Yeah, I'll say so.
Some trick moves?
Yeah, I don't think anybody else. I don't think Seabass have it anymore. He's probably a little too old to take me, but yeah, I'll probably say so. But I'll say
any football players.
Football players, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. I'll say.
So, are you a dancer as well?
A what?
Can you do the Ray dance?
Nah, I need to work on
that. Leave that to Marquette. Your favorite sports movie?
Remember the Titans.
That's a good one. I like it. How about your favorite Haitian meal? Switching it up a little bit. One that maybe your mom makes or that you get at a restaurant.
It's griot.
I have no idea what that is. So now you have to give me the recipe.
It's fried pork and plantains, like fried plantains. And
sounds
it's
really
like this
healthy
Haitian spice that's called pickles. It's real good. You should try it.
But not that great on the waistline. Anything fried.
But not for you, though.
This one is my favorite. This is a new question. Favorite emoji to use while texting?
The side eye.
The side eye?
Yeah.
Which
one's
that?
The little one that gives you like, it's like,
okay.
Did you really?
The shady eye? Not
yeah.
The whiskey-based kiss?
Nah.
That's not yours? If you weren't playing football, what would you be doing? Would you be playing football?
No, probably not. Probably just be a businessman.
I could see it in the suit. You gave us a taste of it during the fashion show for breast cancer awareness.
Yeah, a little something. A little something.
Well, you continue to get the job done on the field. Enjoy your homecoming, the Florida trip, and best of luck to you. Thanks
right,
for
thank
coming
you
on the show today.
Thank you.
A
thanks
lot more
having
to come. Jack Del Rio sits down with Chris Townsend one-on-one next.
Win or lose, what's most important is how you get past the last one and get on to the next one. There's no question in my mind. I think where it starts is each man is, when things don't go the way you want, each man, you know, looks and sees what he can do better. Ask each guy, every player, every coach, do something, do one thing better this week than you did last week. Collectively, we've got a really good process. You know, get back to work and expect to be better. So this is a group I believe in. I believe we have a good group of men really committed to helping this organization be really strong, and so looking forward to getting back to work.
Since day one, Coach Del Rio has preached whether you win or lose, it's on to the next one. Because in the NFL, there's no time to dwell on the week that was. That time is even shorter with the challenge of back-to-back road games in Florida as the Raiders look to stay atop the AFC West.
Well, you know, Coach, you don't want to dwell on it too much, but we got to talk about last week against
sure
Kansas City. It was a big opportunity for your football team. I know you came out of that game, that loss, you weren't very happy.
Wasn't happy. One day, nobody hurt, so we move on.
Yeah, and when you look about moving on, there's certain things that you'd like to see change, and I know you'd like to get that running game going a little bit more this week.
Yeah, we need to be able to run the ball better. Need to be able to play better defense. Those are the two things we came into the season saying we've got to do better. We can't put it all on number four. You know, we've got to give our quarterback some support. And we don't want him to feel like he's got to shoulder the whole load.
And then on Twitter, ask Coach on Twitter. I love how you're doing this on Twitter, by the way. It's great. Fans are asking you questions. And you still believe in your defense. You still think you have really good football players. Tell us why you really think it's going to turn around.
Yeah, I said I believe we have good players and good coaches. And I believe we all care. And so because of that and the work we're putting in, let's see. We get to see in this league. You know, that's one thing about it. It's not about these, you know, predictions and making these statements. It's about the work that you put in and the results. And let's see what happens.
And I know watching you yesterday in your press conference, you talked about how everybody truly does care. I guess you've been around it when it hasn't been that way.
Right.
And that's what starts
going
sideways.
That's not a good situation. We don't have that situation. We've got good people that care and are working very hard about it. That's why I know it's going to get turned around.
Is it scheme? What do you think it exactly is that needs
one
to
word,
change?
The biggest word where we're breaking down is communication. And look, that starts with me. Okay, so I've got to do a better job. Coaches have to do a better job. Players have to do a better job. And then it all comes together. It looks terrific.
It's amazing how the way that this league works. You're 4-2. You're in
right,
first
right
place, but there's like doom and gloom. How tough is it to manage that?
Yeah, well, you can't pay attention to the noise, right? Whether it's good noise or bad noise. And sometimes the good noise is the hardest to turn away from. It's not hard to turn away from the naysayers that, you know, the doom and gloom. So we do not put too much stock in the noise.
And you're going back to Jacksonville, a place you were, 9 years you were there. What's
yeah
that going to be like going back there as a head coach now?
Next game.
That's it? Next game? That's no, it?
Listen, you're always fired up to go back to where you played, where you coached. I've been in this league for 31 years, so I've been a few places, okay? The bottom line is we'll be excited for the next opportunity to win the game. That's really what we're after. They're a talented team. you know, we're a team that needs to get another win. We got to find a way to get win number five, and here we go.
They didn't get off to a good start, but they've won their last two games, kind of saving their season early. What are you seeing with Jacksonville?
Talented team. Talented team throughout. They've added a lot of talent over the years since I was last there. They've really built up their defense, their offense. They've got skilled people. They've got pass rushers that can get there. They play a little bit of a soft zone, you know, it's a good football team. And really, if you look at the tape, they should have beat Green Bay. I mean, so there are a couple of these games, four out of five, they've been very close. So this is a team that we're definitely getting prepared for.
Something very rare, because I've asked a lot of guys that, you know, we have on our different shows, mm-hmm. about doing a road trip that's kind of like a baseball or NBA or hockey road trip where you're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Right.
This is not the norm in the NFL. What is the plan for this trip after this game against Jacksonville when you play Tampa?
Well, again, from, you know, now till kickoff is exactly the same, okay? Then Sunday night when the game's over, you know, then we'll go straight to Tampa and spend the week in Tampa practicing.
And is it more like a training camp scenario? I mean, or is it just like a regular week? You're just not at home.
As regular as we can do it. We won't have this studio here. But yeah. Beyond that, we'll have everything, you know, typically like we do here.
We're not going to have you via satellite from Florida next week? We're not going
to
have
that? It's up to Vit. Vit's in charge.
At night, what are you going to do with the players tonight? Are you going to try and do a special thing? Because this could be a really good bonding thing and chemistry for your players as they're out on the road. You're away from wives, girlfriends, kids, and everything. Are you going to try and do some bonding stuff with the team?
The bonding will occur because we're all there kind of sequestered for a week together. But as far as taking up their time at night, no. We're going to allow it to be as normal as possible. So we don't babysit them at night on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday when we're at home, and we're not going to babysit them on the road.
You know, the great thing about being on the road is that you're 3-0, and you're getting rid of a lot of some road games here pretty early. Talk about the success you guys have had on the road, so hopefully you can get two wins here, and now you're talking 5-0 on the road.
Yeah, I don't know how you can go to 5-0 without going to 4-0. So for me, right now, all of our effort is on understanding the Jaguars, the strengths and weaknesses, the players, the tendencies, dial in our preparation, and go down there and scratch out a win one way or another. That's all we're after right now.
Well, I can tell you what, it's going to be a while until we talk to you again. So have a good road trip to Florida. Have a good trip going back to Jacksonville, and we'll see you next week.
I appreciate it, Chris.
Hello, class. Professor Kennedy here. I know I missed last week, and I'm sorry about that. And after that Kansas City game, I'm still a little sick in the stomach. But I'm back, and let's make things better. Get ready for Jacksonville. You know, watching that game, I thought the Raiders did a pretty good job at shutting down their big tight end, Kansas City's big tight end, Travis Kelce. This week, no different. Julius Thomas. Remember him? Former Bronco, now Jag. Big tight end provides ultimate matchup problems for most defenses. And I'm hoping that our Raider defense learned the lesson from last week of how to negate a big tight end. In this first picture we're going to see a case where the linebacker and the defensive back's eyes commit to the backfield. They're watching for play action, and they lose sight of a big playmaker like Julius Thomas. This is what you can't do if you're on the defensive side. If number 80 is your responsibility, you need to follow him and try to be as technically disciplined as you possibly can. So let's take a look at this play against the Chargers. You see Julius Thomas go into motion, gives Blake Bortles an idea of what the defense is going to be called. The play action motion sinks the linebackers down, and if we froze it here, defense is lost. Look at this window that's opened up in the middle. You've got two receivers. He's going to throw to Julius Thomas for a big chunk of yards. This is, in essence, what can't happen if you're on defense. Can't let your eyes fool you. Got to stick with your responsibility. In this next play, you know they're trying to get the ball to Julius Thomas. And there's nothing special or magical. They're going to they're going to run a simple pick play. You've got Mercedes Lewis, the other tight end, and Julius Thomas. And it's just a simple crossing around the middle. Meant to pick the man coverage. Watch how it works to their advantage. And this is what our defense needs to be mindful of. Playing with the back in the backfield, you have to respect the run. But more importantly, you have to keep your eyes in tune with your main responsibility. I'm not sure if it's a miscommunication amongst the Chargers, but the last thing I want is Julius Thomas running free, uncovered down the field. That's where communication becomes key. Look, the Raiders did a great job against Travis Kelce in negating a lot of his big play potential. They got to do the same thing at Julius Thomas. It's going to be on the road, so communication is going to be more of an emphasis. More importantly, you want to make sure you have the right personnel to take him out of the equation. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. We'll see you next week.
it's one of those things. We'll always be tied together because we were in the same class. And Derek's an awesome guy, obviously an awesome quarterback, been doing a good job. And I'm really good friends with a running back, Latavius Murray, that I played with in college. So, you know, I get a chance to watch them when I can and check up because I want to see how Tay's doing. And I know Derek and have a relationship with him as well. So always rooting for those guys to do well, you know, obviously until we play them. But I think it'll definitely be cool to get an opportunity to play, you know, a quarterback that, you know, was in the same draft class.
Sunday marks the first time head coach Jack Del Rio returns to Jacksonville to face his former team, a team he spent 9 seasons as head coach before being fired in 2011. You can only imagine the motivation Coach Del Rio and the first place Raiders have.
Today's the day to go get some respect. Let's get it done. Respect. 1, 2, 3. Respect.
One. Let's go!
We're gonna need everybody in this group, man. Gotta be the best of the best. Go out here and work, man.
Every time we step on the football field, we come here to win. We're gonna come out here and get this W. We go home winners. Let's go.
Win all three. 1, 2, 3.